Oh, that's a little loud. Okay. I have been praying not only that God would ignite our hearts, every one of us, and stir up the gifts within us and light each other's candle inside of us so that we would go out and the world would catch fire just because Jesus in us. And but I also been praying for laughter. I think we need to laugh. We need to laugh and have belly laughs. Like, I remember retreats when I was a young mom. We used to go to these retreats, like, and honestly, Linda B. was the queen of retreats. And she would, I was irritated with her because she would be up all night pulling pranks and just like giggling from, like, but I miss that. I miss that. And God is in, not only in our prayer times and our, when we're sobbing, all those things, but He invented laughter. And He wants us to enjoy this weekend. He wants us. So if you think that you're having, you know, a hard time or whatever, and you may be, I also give you permission to have a belly laugh in the midst of your crying. I just, it's a healing, and I miss that. So I'm really praying that I hear some real big belly laughs. Belly laughs where you're crossing your knees and you can't quit, okay? So just, God is in the laughter as well as every other part. I just, you know, we should have time to be able to get to know each other a little bit and to know some of the things, the deep secrets that maybe you haven't let out before. I am going to give you a secret you may not know about me, and that is I really struggle with packing light. I do not pack light. I have to pack and pack just in case. And you know what? The verse in the Bible that terrifies me the most, is the one that says, Jesus let them go. And they didn't take any garments with them except for what was on their back. Like, are you kidding me? Didn't his mother tell him that when they go on a trip that they may better make sure they have clean undies every day or you might get in an accident? Like, really? It terrifies me. That's my secret. And I hope you give a few secrets out also. I was reading my devotion. I have a devotion app too, and I thought, oh, this goes for today. When we stand side by side as family in Christ, saved by the same Savior, loved by the same Father, guided by the same Spirit, then, friend, we are in church together. That doesn't matter where we are. Like, we could be in a spa, we could be, you know, traveling, whatever. We're together. We're in church together. And so, again, I'm just so honored to be here this week. And I feel like a bear that's come out of hibernation all winter and only has been a couple winters. And it's just like, I'm going wild this weekend. So, beware. I know we are here by divine appointment. I was inspired by Rick Warren, said, we were made by God. You were made by God. He made you for himself. Colossians 1:16 says, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Matthew 6:13 says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So then, the keys to a fulfilled life is when we live in God's kingdom, by His power and for His glory. And so we are here for such a time as this. If you ever read the book of Esther, it was declared to Queen Esther by Mordecai that when she was instructed to save all the Jews, Who knows? Perhaps you are made queen for such a time as this. And by the way, that worship was beautiful. Like they spoke whatever I'm saying in here. Like we don't even have to do the rest of the weekend. It was powerful, very powerful. And so anyway, the same words can be applied to all of us. We are in this town, in this neighborhood, in our family, at this age, whether young or old, for such a time as this. We are mothers for such a time as this, grandmothers for such a time as this, and teachers, realtors, pastors, on and on. God is not surprised where we are or what we are going through. And we are at this retreat for such a time as this. I emailed Michelle's friend, the one that was supposed to be speaking here, Amy, and as I wanted to be on her list for updates of her health, for prayer, and I admitted to her my insecurity at trying to take the place of such a great speaker. And Amy answered, "Jesus is not surprised or dismayed that Michelle cannot come. Jesus has things specifically to share and give to the ladies this weekend." So I believe that he has a purpose for each one of us wherever we are at and now at this time for this weekend. Just what incredible work and planning has been put in this weekend. Just thank you. I applaud you. Like, it's awesome, like, what you've done together. So I'm going to pray also. I pray that we could be encouraged this weekend, that we would be able to lift your name up, Jesus. And right now we do cancel every assignment by the power and blood of Jesus that would keep us from hearing your word. Let your kingdom come and your will be done through us. Open our minds to hear your voice and understand your word. Please be with and keep everyone healthy at home and in our families. If anybody else is supposed to be here this weekend, prompt them and enable them to come. And Lord, I pray that you would give us much laughter and joy as we enjoy each other. I pray Colossians prayer. We ask God to give us all complete knowledge of your will and give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way we live will always honor and please the Lord, and our lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, we will grow as we learn to know God better and better. And our hearts are with Michelle and her family. We lift her up and pray for strength and encouragement and a supernatural healing. Just protect her vital organs. And we think of Linda B., Lord, all the fun she was, and I pray for her to get totally healed, Lord God, and we thank you for all you're going to do and you're doing now. So, in January 2020, we joined this church here in our traditional corporate time of prayer and fasting. Now, at one point during this time, I spent a real restless night. And finally, I got up and I found Dennis in the same place. He always is in our favorite spots on our love seat recliners doing his devotions. And out of my mouth came words which surprised both Dennis and myself. I said, "I believe the Lord has told me that he has a buyer for our house and we are to move." Incredulously, Dennis, like, his eyes opened and widened and his mouth gaped and he's like, "Yes!" Because he'd been waiting for a long time for me to agree to move, and because we wanted to be closer to our grandchildren, and I felt the Lord saying it was time. So after we proclaimed this, things moved very quickly. God indeed did have a buyer to our house. We received the offer. We only advertised within our office. I was a realtor, and I'm still am in the Coldwell Banker office before the COVID-19 pandemic. We would have just waited one more week, the buyers of our house would have put an offer on another house. We then had to complete the final plans, including finding our new home, and by now, the pandemic was in full swing. And we did find our house for a reasonable price in a nice neighborhood in Sylvan Lake. We had no idea that we would end up in Sylvan. When we look back at the picture on the real estate, after everything had gone through and the house was purchased, we noticed something that we hadn't noticed before. In that picture, there was a beautiful rainbow over our home. So it just added our belief that we were being divinely directed to this new home. But even when we do everything right, we listen to the voice of God, we go in the direction He illuminates for us, it does not mean that everything is going to be perfect. And when everything is not perfect, it does not mean that we are out of His will. In Acts 16, for example, Paul and his buddy Silas was definitely led by the Holy Spirit in his travels, but he was also beaten and imprisoned, but remained steadfast in his dedication to the Lord. Can everybody hear me? Okay. We moved into our lovely house with a rainbow on top in the lovely neighborhood near to wonderful family, and it was truly glorious to be so near my children and grandchildren. But surprisingly, I did not feel great. I felt strangely nothing, really. I was in a funk, and I didn't even know why. Like, it was, I thought perhaps it was because of some of the medical challenges I was having. I felt something was wrong, but did not know why I was feeling or not feeling the way I was. And I was really tired. While in the midst of the COVID, we began to listen to sermons online, and I heard a sermon from Pastor Dave from Crossroads. He told of a time when he went through a season of intense grieving. Even though he was excited about his move and all was well in the church he was pastoring in Red Deer, he would drive out to isolated places and just cry. He missed his home so much. And my heart stopped as I realized I am grieving. Putting a name to my feeling helped immensely. I had been actually feeling guilty for not getting it together. But after that sermon, I felt I had a permission to feel this way. I did not, however, want to continue to camp in that place. Often when we go through a season of grief, anger, uncertainty, fear, even boredom, the enemy can bombard us with lies that, if we agree with those lies, can do great damage to our hearts or our souls. If you see me winking, it's because I have a few issues with my eye. I'm not winking at you. So I had to counter the lies with truth and have a kind of an arsenal of truth that I have. And you should make a list yourself and get work asking somebody else for some. I have a list I just grabbed. But you will all have some truth that you have. So for the lie, you have no future. You've been put out to pasture. That was kind of my feeling. And there's lots of cows around Sylvan Lake, like lots of them. So the cows, I go by the cows, they're chewing their cud. That's me, out to pasture. And with truth such as God has a future and a plan for me. And my health conditions and pain made me more and more fearful. But God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You have no friends. You never will. And on the list can go, or perhaps you can relate. Like, it happens. Like, the battle is in our minds. So I was having a grand time with my kids and grandkids, but I still had some negative emotions that needed to be worked through. Feelings aren't right or wrong. They are sometimes just indicators of something that may be going on inside of us. We're always in a battle. So we should always have our positive affirmations to proclaim, or the Word of God, which is the Word of God. And so after Pastor Dave's sermon, I felt I had permission to grieve. But it did not give me an excuse for a negative attitude. I hadn't realized this, really. I have had many seasons of intense grief before, but this was different, and it kind of crept in slowly. And I felt so tired. My heart overwhelmed with thankfulness and all that I had been given. But God was trying to say something to me in the midst of that. I tell you, this scripture, it would just haunt me, and I didn't know what to make of it. But it says in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. So it haunted me, like it really did. Stopping at the crossroads implies that being lost and gathering your bearings, asking for directions. My husband Dennis, on the other hand, has an amazing, so being lost is very common for me, as I have a very poor sense of direction. My husband Dennis, on the other hand, has an amazing sense of direction. Even when quadding or hiking out in the bush, he knows the way. It's as if he sees his invisible pathways through the bush and the forest, but no one else sees. He often asks me when we're out for a walk, "Hun, do you want to go this way or you want to go that?" I said, "I am lost. I do not know where I am. Just lead me in the direction and I'll go where you want me to go." So, so in fact, Dennis will often say to people, "So if you don't know where you're going, ask Pat. Wherever she says to go, go the opposite direction." And so this total lack of direction has led me on many adventures. It has also given me a fear of getting lost. Growing up, I always felt lost and alone. I would determine to be good and do my best just so I would gain everyone's approval and love. But now I know I am accepted because I was chosen by God to be part of His family. Never alone again, as Psalm 68:6 says, He sets the lonely in families. And that was true. It was a surprise to me that God accepted me, not by what I had done, but merely by what I believed. Whenever I literally get lost or I'm paralyzed by fear of making the wrong decision, I peace knowing some important truths that steadies me, especially that God knows where I am all the time and He will give me directions. Isaiah 30:21 says, "Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" According to one commentary regarding this passage, in the prophet Jeremiah's mind, the people were as a traveler who has taken a self-chosen path and finds it leads to a place of peril. He was warning them that they should stop and ask where eternal paths were and where their ancestors traveled safely and choose the good way, the way of righteousness, of peace, of health. But the people were choosing the broad way of destruction. There are many ways, but only one way that had Jeremiah's blessing. Often I hear the comment, "I just got to find myself." And I wonder, what does that mean? In my mind, it wasn't until Jesus found me that I found myself. So I wanted to go down that right path. Being lost again without God was not an option. I wanted to find out what these ancient paths were. Are you with me in this quest? Who's with me? Amen? Okay, so Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" Does this sound familiar? "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." This very famous passage in Matthew is the cross-reference for Jeremiah. Jesus is the fulfillment of Jeremiah. The roads found in Jeremiah are now clearly made known in Christ. Yoke means teachings, or in some commentaries, it is a choice. With every decision you make, you can choose your burden, the fallen burden, the one that will become too heavy to bear, or you can choose His. Road, as described in the Strong's Dictionary, is a mode, a course of action, life, a mode of action. But to learn His ways requires humility. Now, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but just thinking of yourself less. If we focus on God and doing good, it will happen automatically. Now, as you probably know, yoke is an analogy taken from farming language. It is the yoke placed on a horse or oxen to help pull a load. But yoke in this passage is more about the choices we make every day. This is the yoke. A yoke is placed on an animal so an owner can control it or direct it. Often wide enough for two animals, and animals that are yoked together can do more work than independent of each other. That's why we have this weekend. That's why we have church. And often the older and younger oxen are joined or yoked together so the elder one can then train the younger. Isn't that exciting? This is such a great analogy of mentorship and what we have in this church, where we have actually young moms hooked up with some mentors and making way for mentorship. I don't know about you, but my heart craves to pass on to the next generation not only my faith, but also advice from my experiences or mistakes, and who knows, maybe a recipe or two. We'll hear his voice behind me saying, "This is the way, walk in it." His burden is quite simple, actually, and requires only a few things. Faith and love, for sure. We don't get to choose a master, but we can choose the master. A yoke will also direct so that we can carry burdens. A single yoke can carry its own body weight, but when yoked together with another, it can pull 3 times its total weight. But I'm going to give you something that will blow you away. I just get so excited about this. Get this. When the oxen listen to the words of their master and are trained, they can pull up to 10 times their body weight. Like, what a concept. What a truth. And this weekend is a great example. A church hearing instructions from their master can accomplish great things. If working oxen learn to listen, they carry on and progress and become working oxen. But if they don't, they become dinner. Another commentary says, we get to choose the Jesus yoke or the one with our burdens. Only way to really experience the light and free yoke is by letting Jesus carry our heavy yoke. Again, our burden as Christians is not always easy, but it is simple. Love God and love others. Simple, but not easy, hey? We can choose to grab our burden or his burdens. Worry, for instance, is a heavy yoke. It is not easy to choose his way, but we have a choice. And the key to choosing Jesus' yoke is really about hearing God's voice and surrendering to that voice. His will be done, not ours. What about the burdens you've been carrying? Are we ready to let them go? Now, I have some sticky notes here. I thought, if you want, you could even write those burdens down and stick them right on that yoke. And that would be just kind of a, you know, every time you pick it up again and you can say, okay, I've left it. We're going to work our way through some of these burdens this weekend and replace the yoke we were never meant to carry with his yoke. Just going to pray again. I do have... Isn't this nice? Thank you, Wendy, for making such a nice pamphlet. The yoke and the crossroads. And the first page that we have, you'll have opportunity to write down some of the things you want from Jesus this weekend. What do you want? And ask Holy Spirit for that. And then what you're asking for. And then you put... dear, your person afterwards, your name in there, and then write down what you think Jesus is saying to you. He wants to speak to you, and just maybe a few words, whatever. Maybe you have to take it home tonight and see what he has to say to you. But I'm just going to pray right now for you. Would you please help us hear your voice with humble hearts? Thank you that you have started a good work and will not give it up until your work is done, if we are humble and teachable. Fill us with your spirit tonight to accomplish your will and hear your voice. So to recap, we will live a fulfilled life if we live for his glory and find his purposes for our life. We can be assured that God is with us and we are where we are supposed to be. That's really important for such a time as this, including this weekend, no matter your age or position, physically or mentally. And if you're feeling lost, alone, or scared, Stand with me at the crossroads, as God has promised that you will hear a voice telling you, walk this way. God promises that you will hear his voice. We just need to get in a position to listen. That's where we are this weekend. Okay, so just take some time with the handout. And this is your opportunity. We often hear a message and then we just run. Like, you know, because sometimes it kind of is doing something in our heart. So just encourage you not to run, but just to hear what God is saying and write out your prayer. And I'm just so happy to be here. I just miss my peeps, I'll tell you. I miss you every day, going into a grocery store, not having anybody say hi. I love my grandchildren, I love my children, but I do miss you. I'm thankful to be here. Questions, by the way. Anything that you wonder about?